Hello, this is Dr. Stephen Nurse, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do and judge them on those terms rather than by what they cannot do. And our series of episodes right now is on online learning. And we're going to be interviewing the principal at Mason Middle School, Dr. Jaish Zarling. Did I pronounce that right, Jaish?
Yep.
Good, good. And I also want to thank you for waiting for us to press the right buttons here at the station and giving us a little extra time. And one of the things we talked to Dr. Zarling earlier, and one of the things that I wanted to talk to him about now was just now that you've had almost half a semester talk about some of the issues that occur with online learning, Dr. Zarling has kids in the school district, and I think you mentioned you had a middle school daughter yourself, is that correct?
That is right, yes.
And so let's just talk about that a little bit first. How has that worked? I know a lot of parents have a lot of issues with online learning, not that they don't like it, but just that it's certainly different and also different for the kids. Before we really get into all the, some of the administrative stuff and some of the more nitty-gritty technological stuff, what can you just tell me, Jaish, how I combined your first and last name, Jaish, about how your daughter has done and what is she? I know you can't speak for her completely, but how do you feel it's gone with your daughter?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have, you have multiple hats, and everybody has different hats, and you have your parent hat and your work hat, and mine just happened to combine in the same kind of experience with. My daughter is a middle schooler, seventh grader at Mason Middle School. The experience for her, and everyone is different. So her experience definitely, I can't, generalize that to all of our students across the state or anywhere in the nation. But for her, there's things that I'm really proud of things that she's done and she's accomplished and things that are hard. And there's things that are challenging. And I'll start with the positive, kind of focusing on what they're able to do. She's decided to run for ASB secretary. And so we're having our elections. We had to get our feet on the ground. So it's typically we'd have them earlier in the year. But this is what we're doing it now. We're getting our feet on the ground. And she's running for secretary. So she said to me, she says, I'm not as worried about speaking in public because I always have my camera on and I'm talking to the students anyway in my classes. And so in this way, it might be easier. And she's an AVID, Advanced Via Individual Termination, which is an amazing program. But she's focused on note-taking and she wants to do that. So in that aspect, it's something where she said, this is going to be easier than other times. And then in other things, there are things that are more difficult. And so there are those moments like everyone has. We've all had those COVID experiences where it kind of hits you from the side, right? Where you're doing okay, you're COVID good, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, this is hitting me. And regardless if you're a student or you're an adult, those moments hit and they hit at different moments. And so we had one of those just the other day where she didn't have all of her materials. She didn't have it ready, and we had to be flexible, and it was a tough day. But what I can say for the teachers is one of her teachers, her ELA teacher, reached out to me and said, hey, Harper didn't have her camera on. She wasn't participating the way she normally does. Is she okay? And as a parent, it hit me in the gut because I knew my daughter wasn't. There was a situation that that made it difficult for her. And knowing that the teacher was able to pick up on that.
That's amazing.
In the remote and to have the wherewithal to contact me. And I know that it's not just because I'm the principal. She noticed it, and she does it with other kids. So it's we're adapting, but the heart is still there with our teachers to make sure that our kids are okay. So that's for my daughter. Some days are harder than others. Some days are great. What I've noticed is that the kids who have their cameras on become the rock stars in their teachers' minds because it's so hard to teach to a bubble that has initials or a picture rather than to be able to see the kids. So my daughter has her camera on every day. She chooses to do that because she likes the interaction. And so it's an interesting experience.
You know, I think that's really really an interesting statement because, you know, when I taught, I noticed that many times, you know, there were kids that sat back or maybe didn't participate as much. And so you spent extra time trying to get those kids to be involved and, you know, in smaller groups and everything. And I think maybe even the online offers a little more anonymity that you could feel like you're participating, but not, you know, you're looking more at a screen. You're not, it's not like you're at the front of the class and everybody is kind of staring at you, you know, and, you know, evaluating everything about you. I think that's also amazing. You know, I know one of the teachers I interviewed at your school, she was talking about the amazing counselors. And I think that's also a positive. I think I'm sure, you know, as a parent, you know, it's kind of like when you would get a call from the school, you know, a parent would get a call from the school. I kind of felt like I was, you know, like Peter Pan, and you could hear the clock in the alligator stomach kind of tick, 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 tick. You know, I wonder what's happening next. And it was so refreshing to get a call that was personal, but, you know, wasn't a negative call. It was more of a call of concern. And I mean, I think that's just amazing, because that's one of the things that we think we're missing in online education, or some of those, you know.
And that's the thing that's so fascinating about it, is that those people that, and I'm just saying people, that it is important to them, they are going to figure out how to make those connections no matter what. We didn't know what Zoom was, and all of a sudden now Zoom is a thing. We didn't know what these different pieces were. I had a parent email me, and I actually, my daughter got one as well. A couple of our teachers decided right before break and then during the first parts of break to write thank you notes and basically kind of like holiday cards, like a, hey, you know, I'm thinking I appreciate you, a thank you note to their students, and then deliver them to their houses. We didn't talk about this. This wasn't a thing. All of a sudden, I'm getting these appreciation emails from families saying, oh my gosh, Mrs. Brown just dropped by my house and delivered this. Miss Bleckert came and brought me my son and my daughter a thank you card, a handwritten thank you card. And those type of things are ways that people are going to figure out how to live in this new and adapt, but still put whatever they think is the most important.
You know, that is
in the center.
That is amazing. It's kind of like you think about this computer system, this online system, as so impersonal, kind of like, you know, 2001, you know, when Hal says, I'm sorry, you know. You know, you have to go out the chute there into outer space. But it's kind of neat that what we've kind of considered a kind of a impersonal mode of communication can really make it even more, even closer to the students. And
I'm glad you brought that up. So the thing that's interesting, and I would never have guessed this, when this whole thing was starting, there were so many different technological tools that I didn't even know existed, nor did many people that I had spoken with But we ended up finding out some of them. Nearpod is one of them. And what we found was in this program, as the teacher's going through, you think of a PowerPoint, basically. But as the teacher's going through and talking with the class, she or he can stop and pause and say, hey, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to respond to this prompt. And all of a sudden, in the past, in the classroom, you could say, hey, I want you to think about this. I want you to write it in your journal. But there wasn't a really quick and fast way for the teacher to collect all of those responses and to be able to give immediate feedback and also to shift their teaching in a way that addressed the needs of the kids. But now they can. So all of a sudden, there are some significant strengths in the remote world that people may not necessarily think of because they may not be in it. They may not be seeing what it looks like. And had I not seen it, then I wouldn't have believed it either. But when I'm seeing it in action and seeing that I'm able to get 100% of my kids to respond and to see what their thinking is, and I know which students haven't responded, I say, hey, I have the great teacher's like, hey, I'm waiting on two more. We want to make sure your voice is heard. Every single student's voice is heard in some of these platforms, these remote learning platforms, whereas in the classroom, the student could sit there and not say anything and be that I'm going to be quiet and not talk at all day. And how do you know what they're thinking and what they're learning? But now with these different tools that we've been forced into this world, right? This is not something anyone chose to live in, at least in most of our situations. But now, when we go back into hybrid and then into the classroom, when we're one-on-one learning, where teachers are going to have kids and all the kids are going to have their laptops when COVID is over, there are things that we cannot lose. We've learned so much and there are powerful tools in this remote that we didn't ever use before. It's going to be, I'm really excited about that.
You know, when I talked to Miss Carter, I made the statement to her that, you know, now that, and she was asked, saying that she could get assignments, you know, immediately to see what the kids were saying. And I mentioned to her, you know, you can't, a kid no longer can say, you know, the dog ate my homework. Right. And she immediately said, yes, but I can say that my sister got mad at me and threw the laptop in the sink. So, so you still have those kinds of issues. But And I also think that it's really important to have teachers show, like when they came out and delivered the things to the houses, that they are people, that they are caring people. They are people that are not just there to teach for 6 hours a day or whatever, but, you know, they have feelings. And I think that's important that both the teachers or both the parents and the students, you know. I also go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one thing, we were intentional about that because this is my first year as being a principal at Mason. It's my 14th year being a principal, but it's my first year being a principal at Mason, and it's in remote. So how do I make sure that the community knows who I am? So we decided every single Sunday, we always had done, and Mason has always done, remote calls and emails. So we decided to do Flipgrid video as well. So we do a video of our message, our Sunday message. We do a phone call. We do an email. We do a text message. And we also put it on Facebook to try and get all the modes of communication, but at least you get to see someone. In addition to that, we are intentional. We have what's called advisory. So every single day, so Monday we do social emotional learning. Tuesday we check in and do some work around Avid, and on Fridays, and there's other pieces during the week, but on Fridays what we do is we make sure that we're learning about different teachers, and so we have interviews with teachers, and they interview them about who they are, what they're about, like just to get to know them as people. We had never done that before, and so all of a sudden now you're able to say, hey, look, we're all human, we're all in this. Here's this teacher. We're going to showcase these different teachers throughout the week. And so it's been a great experience to have our students be able to be part of that.
I think, I think that's important for everybody and to look into backgrounds. used to spend some time at a care center, a retirement center on the island, and you would talk to some of these people that are, you know, very old, and yet you would never know that they had, you know, been all over the world and had taught different things and had met princes and kings. And, you know, I think it's important to, and again, I think, doesn't that bring the personalization of teachers?
And we do the same thing for students, too. So we have on Wednesday, I missed the other days, Wednesdays we have discussions. And then on Fridays is community building. I mixed up Friday and Thursday. I apologize. Thursday is when they interview the teachers to learn more about others. And then Friday's community building. But it's being intentional with the tools and the structures we have to get to your why. What do you want? I want our students to talk to each other. I want them to have ownership. I want them to have discourse. I want them to have social awareness of themselves and also people outside in our community. So as long as you're clear, and those are our three goals, social awareness, ownership, and discourse for our school, or empowering our students through those, and families and adults through those three things. As long as we're clear about what we want and why, then everything else should tie back to that. Everything. Every opportunity that you have should tie back to those. My conversation with teachers during their observations is, for the area you chose, how does that tie in with our three goals of our school? How can we help each other to make sure that our kids have their voice heard? You just have to know what it is you're standing for and then be intentional.
You know, and I have to admit, on some of these issues, talking to teachers, talking to principals like yourself, I've really almost gone 180 degrees in my opinion on how these things work, because, you know, I see a teacher like Ms. Carter, who is energetic, and that energy goes right through the online, right to her students. And that's really important. Also, I just think of even connections. You know, I talked to her about, next year, if things get back to normal, and we hope they do, I'd like to bring my service dog in. She'd like to have the kids meet the service dog and talk about bonding and talk about other issues. So, you know, I think we spend too much time. Maybe this is me, and I'm not skipping through the daisies 24 hours a day either with COVID, but I do think we need to look at the positives. Do you think that next year we can effectively do this and still integrate? I would hope that we would still integrate some, you know, hybrid models in our educational programs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there, as far as predicting the future with COVID has always been difficult. So, you know, every time someone's like, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's all of a sudden we're almost at a year. So I can't predict the future, but let's say if we're back and we're back in person and we don't have any students at home, I still would say yes, that the aspects that we've learned how to do, Nearpod, teacher students having their laptops. We have a thing called Schoology, which is our learning management system. Canvas is another one. There's another one, Blackboard. Different districts have different ones. Most of them have them. Some don't. That's okay. They have to do a little more work to figure that out. But it's a platform where families and students are able to see not only the student's grade, but the specific rubrics as well as the assignments that tie with the student's grade. And it's a really good tool. It's kind of like a notebook, if you will, for a class to be able to have everyone on the same page and have the support. That's not going away. Students all have laptops now. Most districts all have one-to-one, or they're getting there. That's not going away either. So there are how do we keep the positives? And I'm not skipping through the daisies either. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this has been extremely difficult for everyone. I've never spoken with anyone saying, oh, this is amazing. But I have to be that positive voice of saying, we've got this, being that cheerleader. for the school and saying, all right, come on, we got this. Let's look at the positives and how we can make this better and better. But every time I think about how are we making this better, I'm also looking, saying, next year or the year after or whenever we're back, how can we take what we learned here and make sure that we don't lose the positives of that?
Yeah. Let me ask you a personal question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're a better principal because of this having to go through this year?
I would say yes. And I think everyone that has gone through an experience where they are stretching their brain through disequilibrium is going to be in a different place. And I think there are things that are similar and there are things that are completely new. And having the experiences that I had in the past have prepared me for this, but nobody's ever done this before.
Yeah,
So leadership is leadership, and working with people as a team, and that's really important, is to be part of a team, because I can't say, oh, when I did this and I did remote teaching, this is what it looked like. I've never done this before, nor has any other principal or anyone else. The only people that have done this are the teachers that are doing it right now.
Right.
Or if you worked in a remote learning environment in the past, like WAVA or something else.
Sure.
But otherwise, what I found the best thing, this is what I wrote my dissertation on, was how to improve teams. How do you lead teams? And the best thing about leading teams is that you bring a bunch of different points of view to the table. And in this case, actually, to the remote learning, it's like in a remote setting or in a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting. And how do you make sure everyone's voice is heard? Because they have points of view that are extremely important. And they have more experience in actually living this than I do. So how do I make sure that I have a safe space where everyone has their voices heard and that we're able to have some disequilibrium as we're deciding how to do things, but do it in a way where everyone feels respected and honored, and at the end of the day, we all come out with something better than we went in.
Yeah,
that's the challenge, and it's fun when you have a team figure something out and everyone's excited about it. And we've all been on teams that haven't worked well, but if you've had that benefit of being on a team that worked really well together, you feel like you can accomplish anything. And that's what I'm seeing right now with the teams I'm working with. They are just really coming out with some amazing ideas. And so your original question is, has this made me a better principal? Yeah, it's flexed my brain and what I think is possible. And I also completely, the idea of like, get rid of the box or think outside of the box, it's really hard to do when you're kind of hardwired into certain things of this is how we think of the world. But if you're able to let go of that a little more than you're comfortable with, of what it should look like and what you go into what it could look like, which I love that the aspect of what your show is like, what is possible? And you bring other people together of what's possible and you get everybody to just kind of let go of this is the hurdle, this is the problem, this is why it won't work. And you go, what is possible? What could we do in something that's totally new? It's a lot of fun. And it actually makes it so this experience is better.
Yeah. And if anybody is just tuning in now, I wanted to let everyone know that we're interviewing Jai Starling, the principal at Mason Middle School. And I can tell you one thing, Josh, you know, no one is going to forget 2020. And I'm a much older guy than you, but there will be a point in your life, Josh, when you will say, well, I remember back there in 2020, you know, and going through all that stuff. Do you think that, let me just talk about this. Do you think kids are being pretty resilient with all the things going on in their lives right now?
It's hard to do a broad stroke for all kids because we're all people and everybody is different.
Let's also talk about the kids that are, you know, maybe having more difficulties too. But
I would say overall, I've just been really proud of our kids. Microsoft Teams is the platform we use, and that and Schoology are two main platforms. In Microsoft Teams, they came out with an update, which allows us to break off into small group discussions much easier, much faster. Before it was kind of clunky and difficult. I'm in an ops teacher observation, and I'm into this classroom, and I'm watching the kids, and they're discussing the native cultures and the comparison between the plateau native cultures in Washington State versus the coastal. This is a Washington State history class, and they're in this really great discussion.
There are three groups, right? I know that's a little off subject, but
yes, this is the two they were comparing. Yeah, this is the two they were comparing, and so they were back and forth, and they're like, okay, well, for the plateau natives, what about this? And I sat there and I just said, and I thought I was on mute. You always got to check if you're on mute, first off. And I ran over, got the assistant principal, and I ran back and I go, check this out. This is so awesome. Look at this. Look at that. They're doing it. They're talking. And I was so excited. And all of a sudden, they stopped talking. And I looked up, and I saw I wasn't on mute. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, everyone, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. I'm just so excited to see, like, you listen to your discussion. Now, I used to teach Pacific Northwest history, so I'm also interested in the topic. I taught at high school. But the kids said, okay, you know, they were like, well, this is how we do it. And I was just like, this is so great to see and to hear kids really explain their thinking. And they were saying, like, well, what makes you say that? Help me understand your thinking. Just the, you know, the stuff that we had been teaching them since elementary of, like, how do you engage in a discussion? That was the resiliency of, like, they're going to do this work and pull the best out of each other in a remote world.
They
were never told they couldn't do it. They didn't believe they couldn't do it. And the teacher didn't believe that, hey, you're going to go over, you're going to be in this small group on here, some other cameras on, some other cameras off. But they all were asking. And we had the students in there saying, hey, I haven't heard from you, so-and-so. Can you share with us your ideas?
And I think those are the moments, and it sounds like you agree with me, that as a principal or as a teacher, when you really see a class and you really see students picking up concepts and really looking at things critically. I had a student teacher that did an assignment on Lewis and Clark and asked the students, if you were going to go on that trip, what would you bring with you? And of course, first of all, the teacher said, and you can't bring your cell phone. But it was fascinating, just totally fascinating, because they knew what Lewis and Clark had experienced. And, you know, so it's kind of Monday morning quarterbacking, but it was still such critical thinking and such amazing thinking that I just kind of left the class in awe. I said, you know, this is the kind of teacher that's, whether they're online or in person, are going to challenge their students to do great things.
Right.
And, you know, and
that is amazing.
You know, and don't you think too, when you go in and observe a teacher and you see those kinds of things, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
it just makes your heart beat faster. And, you think, you know, this education job is pretty darn good. You know,
I can always tell, and I tell the teacher this, I said, I have a hard time when all of a sudden I stop taking notes because I want to be engaged with your students in the class. I want to learn what they're learning.
Yes.
And I said, it's hard for me because I'm like, oh, wait, I have a job to do. I'm supposed to take notes and, like, have a great conversation with you afterwards and build on your strengths and all of those things. But when you draw me in as I'm a student learning in your class, especially the topic I taught, and you make it real for the kids, this winter break, my family and my daughter, I have one daughter, seventh grade daughter, and my wife is a middle school counselor. She's a school social worker. She and I, we went down, and we both were high school social teachers. We went down to Long Beach, And my daughter said, I really want to go see Cape Disappointment where Lewis and Clark were because I'm learning about it in class. I said, okay, cool, let's go. So we went. And that's the thing is, she wanted to do this because of experience. So that's the possibility. That's the resiliency of, like, how do we make sure that our voices are heard and we, these experiences are not just, you know, that all of a sudden, just because we're in remote, that we can't do something. It's what we can do. Now, the other part of your question was the students that are struggling with...
You know, yes, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, and that's okay. We have students that have connectivity issues. We have students that are not logging in. We have students that have some significant loss. Students that have needs, right? Mental health in our country is at a point where people finally are saying, hey, it's okay to ask for help to a higher degree than it used to be. And I think that's great because I think that mental health, people try to separate the mind and the body, and I think that's a mistake.
Can't do it. You can't. Believe me.
Health is health.
I know that personally.
Health is health. And so now I feel like people are like willing to say, hey, I need some help. And so we have an amazing counseling team that connect with our kids. They do social emotional lessons around health, and we have specific videos about like making sure that we are taking care of our mind and our body. And in addition to that, we also have a team that go and they drive to students' houses to make sure they have what they need.
Yeah.
We bring a lunch to make sure they have the connectivity things with their laptops, but we also just check on them to make sure they're okay.
And I really appreciate that. And Josh, I'm going to give you a call and come down there when everybody's back, and we're going to have lunch and actually talk to each other personally.
That sounds great.
We're leaving for now, and I love your attitudes and your ideas. Have a great day, and thank you everybody for listening. That was Josh Sarlin. He's a middle school principal at Mason Junior High. Have a great day, be safe, and we will talk to you soon.